Hey gang, are you a musician here in Austin, or maybe you are in the music industry here in Austin? Let me tell you about a great resource called the Austin Music Foundation. The AMF is a nonprofit whose mission is to strengthen and connect Austin's music community with innovative programs that empower music professionals and Austin's creative economy. With expert panels, consultations, mentoring, and mixers, AMF's programs provide the necessary tools and opportunities to succeed in the music industry here in Austin. All right, go to austinmusicfoundation.org and get involved. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello. Happy New Year, everyone. Happy 2016. Welcome to the new year. Today's the first day of the new year, and the album Domesticated came out by Kev Bev and the Woodland Creatures. They are my guests. Candace and Kevin Collins came by a few weeks ago, and we sat down and we talked about the album. We talked about their nine-piece band. I thought it was great to start off the year with a band that has such a positive message, that has the same kind of vibe as like a Sly and the Family Stone. You can find out all about them and find out how to get the album Domesticated by going to kevbevandthewc.com. Okay? You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, YouTube. Trust me, if you put in Kev Bev and the Woodland Creatures, only one band's going to come up. It's this band. They're fantastic. They're lovely people. If you live in Austin, they are playing some shows around town in January. On the 16th, they'll be at Independence Brewery. On January 28th, they'll be at Cheer Up Charlie's. On January 29th, they will be at Swan Dive. For everyone else, go to kevbevandthewc.com for all your Kev Bev and the Woodland Creatures needs. Okay? I have a great conversation with Candace and Kevin. Stick around for that. Before we get to that, here we are, 2016, new year. A whole new thing. I want to thank everyone that's listened to the show. We've had a great 2015. I'm looking forward to a great 2016. I want to thank all the people that have been sharing the Facebook posts and, you know, sharing the shows that they like. A lot of people shared the Trishas. They shared Paco Estrada. And I talked about it in the show. Look, I don't have advertising in the show. There's no way for people to hear this show because we live in a vacuum unless people spread the word. Not just me, but you guys. That's how social media works. And I would love it if when you hear a show, like take for instance, if you enjoy today's guest, Kev Bev and the Woodland Creatures, you want to let people know about this show and you liked it, share it. So thank you for doing that, all the people that have. Thank you for people that will be doing it. Kev Bev and the Woodland Creatures are Austin Music Foundation's Band of the Month, and I wanted to thank Austin Music Foundation for partnering up this year and doing so much stuff with me and the show, having me moderate a couple of panels. I've enjoyed that. I want to do more of that. Guys, if you're listening, invite me back. I love it. They're a great resource for you here in Austin. I'm sure you heard it at the top of the show. If you're a musician, if you're in the music business, if you manage a band, if you're a photographer and you want to shoot bands, like it's just a great place to come and meet. Their meetups and their panels are all great, not just because I'm on them, okay? So I want to thank them. I want to thank Space. It's a great place to rehearse. Great sponsor of the show all year. Don't forget, don't be a schmo. Get with the pros. Go to Space Rehearsal and Recording right here in Austin, Texas. Hello Giggles, great website. They sold and became a bigger thing. I want to thank my friend Molly for hooking me up with them. What else? Stitcher. Stream your podcast. Great place to listen to podcasts. I do it. I listen to it. I listen. There's over 20,000 shows on there. We're on there. Serial, all the shows you listen to. I'm sure when I go to look at the same things that, you know, similar shows that people listen to that listen to this one, and they're all on Stitcher. So that's a great place for you to stream your shows so you don't fill up your phone or your pad. Okay? Look, I've talked a lot now. I want to thank you guys for listening. 2015 was a great year. I want to thank you for giving me 4.5 years of fun. I don't know what I would do without this show. I love doing it. I love talking to people. I love hearing from you guys. So don't forget to like our Facebook page. Share a show if you like it. Let me know what you think of shows. Say hello every once in a while because I like to hear from you and I like to know that you're out there. Because I know you're out there. I see the numbers. But I want you to be more than just a number to me. I want you to be a person. Like maybe I am to you, you know? So Speaking of people, great people, I talked to Candace and Kevin Collins from the band Kev Bev and the Woodland Creatures, whose album Domesticated comes out today, January 1st, 2016. Happy New Year to all of you. I hope that you enjoy my conversation with Candace and Kevin. They're great people. And I hope that you have a great New Year. I'll talk to you at the end of the show. Here's Candace and Kevin. Happy New Year. Let's get down. Back straight. So, okay, I have to say this. I listened to your album a couple times back to back before you guys came in. I believe that was the third time it was spinning. I just kind of had it going, cleaned my house a little bit too. You can't really tell what I did.
Looks great.
I was thinking about, there used to be these cartoons in the 70s when I was a kid, and to me, I can't tell if Kev Bev and the Woodland Creatures are a band or just the raddest 1973 Saturday morning cartoon you could ever imagine. Like a cartoon that started at like 10 in the morning. Not one of the early ones. Like one of the later, kind of like weirder ones.
Like
for
when
the older
Garfield
kids.
Was on.
Because they were hand-drawn. They were, yeah. They were like...
This album cover looks like your band album sounds. Like your album sounds. Like your band album. Like your album sounds. Do you think that?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's cool as shit that you guys achieved that.
That's what we were going for, because every one of our shows is just like a fun party, and so we wanted to draw all of our friends and all of our fans that we could onto the album cover and make it a party.
And you know what's funny is with the number of people in the band, because I looked at the number when the thing was spinning, I was like, man, how many guys are in this band? And I looked at it, and I was like, man, this band is huge. there's a Sly and the Family Stone. Then I read a Sly and the Family Stone reference in your band story.
Yeah, I love Sly and the Family Stone.
That's your band.
Kind of why you like those cartoons, because it's like...
It's fun.
Animated, it's unique, it's it has so many layers. It's like, it's fun, for sure, but there's also like depth to it.
Yeah,
and
in a way, it's beautifully inclusive, which is funny to talk about today, even though this is going to come out afterwards. Today is like this ground zero of like... divisive exclusion of other people into our country, and it, you know what I mean? And then, and with that music, with a mixed race band, and just a band of freaks that got together and they just want to bring happiness to everyone, like that's what it's all about to me. Like that's what the world is about. Maybe today more than any other day, really. Honestly, I'm having a weird day about that stuff.
I think that that what you said is for sure our goal, because it's...
That was Sly's goal, right?
It was. And I think that's the most powerful, as a musician, I kind of feel like responsible. Like, and if there's anything I could do to help anybody or help change, you know, on a bigger level, is to like do something positive that, yeah, you know, is.
And for us, it's hard for us to put a specific genre or even categorize our music into three words of what you sound like.
No, there's not. But you guys cover a lot of ground.
Yeah, we do. And the only thing that always just continuously comes back is positivity and happiness.
Like, yeah.
Even if we're singing sad songs.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't catch as much sad songs. I caught a lot of great existential stuff and just weird basketball songs. I love it. It reminds me of like a thing from, like, there used to be this show called Vegetable Soup when I was a kid. Look that up. It was like a PBS.
Yep.
Like it was a little smarter than the, you know, Scooby-Doo's. but it was about that. It was all like different race kids in New York, and like a Puerto Rican and a black kid and a, you know, Asian kid playing together. Good stuff like that. So your album comes out, Domesticated, which is the album that we're talking about, and it is fantastic. It comes out January 1st of the new year, 2016. And you're doing a release. What's the date again and the place?
Oh, we're doing it January 16th at Independence Brewery.
Okay.
And we're teaming up with Austin Music Foundation and Solstice Live to put that party on. We're super excited.
Well, they were the guys that got you. You guys were the band of the month for December.
Yes,
we are. Austin Music Foundation. Mm-hmm. And I love Solstice. I love this. And Matt and Lauren are great people. I've had them on the show. I love talking to them. So how did you get hooked up with them? Obviously, you're the kind of band that falls under their umbrella.
We are. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a zillion of you. Let me ask you this, because this is the thing. This is the thing that gets me about bands that are big. Like, for instance, when I saw Polyphonic Spree, every time I've seen Polyphonic Spree, from the first time I saw them in like 2002 or something until I don't know when the last time I saw them, I can watch them for about 5 minutes before I just start getting anxious, like, how do they get to rehearsal? You know what I mean? That guy looks like he doesn't have a car. That guy's the problem. I know
you're right.
How do they, when they stop to get to pee, how many vans are they in? And who's the jerk that when everyone gets back in, they're getting ready to go, is like, oh, wait, man, I wanted some chips. And he has to go in?
That happens. That happens for them. I can be sure. I mean,
it's got to.
They got to have two school buses.
How do you guys, are you the main, are you guys together kind of like wrangle, are the wranglers and runners of the show?
Yeah, we're the co-managers, and you know, it's like herding cats sometimes, because if you're trying to plan something, you're not only dealing with the Austin music industry, which is all over the place, but you're dealing with 9 members, and it's, everybody has huge lives, other bands, everybody works, you know, significant others,
so wait, run me through this, because this is the logistical question I totally have. You get a call from a place, hey, we got this date open, you guys want to come and open for this band on this date?
Mm.
And you have to send out.
We have 90 this, emails. We have a tool that works tool. Really well.
A calendar.
It's called, well, the calendar, getting everybody to put their stuff on the calendar, okay, their other bands,
yeah,
their
yeah.
Dates or whatever, their date night or whatever they have, you right. know, which is important.
Totally. You got to live.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But we also have this little text chain, which is
group me,
and you just download the app, and then you have everybody in the band on this group chat, and you just like, hey, we just got we're trying to get the KUTX live in Studio 1A thing, we're trying to pick this date,
right,
can you guys get back now? I mean, that way it's like immediate responses.
And everyone's cool. They all want to be there. That's the main thing, is that if someone's like, you know, whatever. Okay. I mean, sure, I'll show up and I'll do whatever. But
I feel like we're the luckiest band in the world as far as that goes. Everybody's like 100% in it. Even everybody's significant others are 100% in it. And everybody just wants to practice and they want to write new music. When we get together and we jam, we never jam without writing a new song.
Really?
So much
fun. We are lucky.
That's how you do it? I mean, does one person in charge of lyrics?
Used to be. Sort of still is.
Yep.
You're the basketball guy?
Pretty much, yeah. I'm the basketball guy. I'm point guard. So I'll dribble the ball down, but I got to pass.
Well,
you know,
look,
pass it
like
off.
As a songwriter, you do want, like, I maybe I'm different than a lot. Like, some people are like Tom Waits and Leonard Cohen about everything. Like, you can't have a sense of humor. You can't feel good about things. You can't just sing a song about how fun it is to play basketball with your friends.
Right.
To me, like, you need all that stuff to be a good songwriter. You can't just always be in fucking turmoil,
right?
You know, or fighting and the man, because that's a drag.
I've done it because I've written for previous bands, and as I was progressing in my songwriting, which at first was, you know, really bad. And then really cliche.
Yeah.
You know, and then it got a little more like emo and really introverted and personal, you know. which some people really dig that and they relate to it, and that's where the connection is. But I found that studying more and more of what really the songs that really got me excited were the songs that are bigger than all that, bigger than just your own personal breakup. It's like bigger concepts, just thinking outside of the box, like John Lennon or any of the like the great songwriters are just like they don't do the little introverted thing. It's they think of it, or even David Bowie, like it's just they do that, but they bring it like
so big.
We feel like a lot of musicians play music for themselves, and we feel like we play music because it makes us super excited, but really we are driven off of other people and their reaction to it, and we write music that everybody can relate to, I think, because it's fun and it's happy.
I think so. And I think also a band like you, and I hate to say it like this, but I, like on a marketing level, this is something you can sell to people. Hey, it's a party. And there's like
totally
9 people, and they only play the kinds of music that are like feel good, you know, like all your stuff does feel good. It is eclectic, but it stays in a realm of like soul and reggae and hip hop and all those kind of like feels where you can kind of groove to it, you know?
And the, some of the artists that really influenced me, like some of my favorite ones, do this trick where Curtis Mayfield, for example, he'll write this like really funky song that you want to dance. You can't help but dance to.
Yeah.
But it's got this like pretty intense lyrical content.
Yeah.
Or political content.
Sure.
And he just like uses this party as a sneak in some deeper stuff.
Yeah, you guys, you are know? You guys friends with Riders Against the Storm? You know those guys?
Should be.
We're fans.
Yeah, that's the same philosophy.
Really?
You guys should do shows together.
Yeah. We want to.
They're really wonderful people, and they're great.
We miss their shows. But we love their music.
We only really have 2 songs that I can think of that go that route, but I love going that route. We have We Were Here First, which is about gentrification on the east side, but it's like you just want to dance to it.
That is a great song. I know exactly what you're talking about. There is like there's your hometown in your songs. I noticed that a lot from like, I hate to keep referencing local bands, but I deal a lot with them. Have you heard East Cameron Folk Corps?
Uh-huh.
They're pretty angry.
Yeah.
But they also have some songs about the gentrification.
We've heard it on KATX.
Yeah. I mean, nothing again. I like them, but they're not having as good of a time as you guys.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair assessment. I saw them play the other night. It was very intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different kind of music. People love that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in bands harder, heavier, darker bands, you know, which is good to know. It's good to have I like a lot of different kinds of music.
How did this band come together? You guys started it. You guys are a couple, right?
Yes.
I'm assuming.
We are. We just got married in April.
You did? Congratulations.
Thank
April
you.
What?
April 10th at a summer camp.
Awesome.
In Wimberley. It was wonderful.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We had like 10 cabins. It was great. But our band started because Kevin, he was writing all of this music, and he was, you know, so much music. He was on tour with Yo Gabba Gabba, which is like this children's show. For a few months. And, you know, he kept compiling these songs. He comes back and he just starts working really hard. And he didn't have a band at the time. And he started playing these songs that he wrote out as a one-man band, kind of. And once in a while, myself and Monica, the other gal who's been playing with us, we would do backup vocals for him. But his songs are just so good that as himself, he would entertain a crowd. And at the end of all of his shows, he would shamelessly just be like, hey, so I'm looking for a band if anyone's interested in playing music.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
So what, like 9 show. People came up and said, yeah, I'll be in your band. You couldn't say no.
It actually...
Kind of.
So our... Gosh, I don't remember who exactly was first, but our keys player, Chris Brown, he's had his own band in town for a long time now. It's called Balia, uh-huh. And they're like a psych band. We recruited him.
Because he had seen me play these songs by myself.
He loved them.
And he was like, and he was a buddy.
How
were
you doing
friends.
Them? Just acoustic, or did you have some other stuff going on?
I was playing the kick drum. An electric guitar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I played... bass drum and with my foot, kind of like Shaky Graves kind of style, and I would just be like, I'm trying to get a big band together. I started writing all these songs hoping that they'd be good enough to attract the players to make the big band that I wanted.
Yeah,
and who, luckily I did.
Who's the fusion guy? There's a guy that busts out a couple of fusion solos.
That's
guitar solos.
That's Gavin.
I love that guy.
He's wonderful. He's our baby of our group.
What a cool... He's a baby? Because he literally plays guitar like he's in Herbie Hancock's band in 1973. And he also is in Kev Bev in the Woodland Creatures Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh, yeah. He's so wonderful. And not only is he so talented, but he just keeps getting better every day because he keeps putting himself through lessons. To further his skills.
He's been studying flamenco guitar.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But he grew up on, his dad had all these records, would show him all kinds of those types, Herbie Hancock, and he gave me a couple records, but he was also, you could hear that, like, Allman Brothers and old...
Yeah.
Little, like,
well, there's definitely, like, that's why the kind of, like, it is almost like the kind of a guitar solo that, like, Ray Parker Jr. would play on, like, if he was a session guy on a 70s soul record. You know what I mean? Like, there's all this soul stuff going on, and all of a sudden, here comes this dude out of nowhere with, like, this language
mm-hmm.
of jazz that's just... It really is cool. It's very, very tasteful. Very, very cool.
His solos just melt me into a giant puddle.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's what I felt. And I don't normally respond to that.
He joined our band, another organic sort of coming together. He and I at the time worked at Texas Coffee Traders together, and he had heard me talk about Kevin, and he at the time was working at Quickie Picky, and Gavin just
What's
had
Quickie Picky.
It's this place.
It's on the east side, and it's like a little
it's a more
bodega,
a little more yeah.
And he had kind of, you know, not even really knowing Kevin, developed a music crush on him, and he's like, "Hey, Candy, you want to go get happy hour and maybe at Quickie Picky?" And you know, we went, and they formally really started talking, and you know, Kevin invited him to jam, and then the rest is history.
Where do you guys jam? Do you guys have a room?
Originally, we were jamming out of our attic. In this, like, three-story wooden house that we called the Treehouse Mansion. And we lived in it with how many other people?
Way too many other people.
And we would rehearse in a room, small, like, tiny room.
It was our bedroom, and we had to put the mattress against the wall to get everybody in there.
And we'd turn on the AC and get all the fans going. And when you have 9 bodies in that room,
I could just imagine.
It was like a sauna.
Yeah.
Of awesome funkness.
Yeah. No, I know that.
Funk, for sure.
Yeah, funk is...
There are some smells.
I'm in a 7-person band, and we have a room in space that's really nice, and still somehow we go in there and rehearse for 3 hours, and there's even a beautiful woman that doesn't smell... Well, she always comes from yoga. Maybe it's her. Maybe it's her.
Beauty doesn't
I just found it out. Yeah. You never know. She was on do you guys watch The Leftovers? Mm-mm. She was on the season finale the other night.
Oh, awesome.
She had a really, like, pivotal part with speaking and singing and everything.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Wonder what's your band that...
That's Skyrocket.
Okay.
That's it's a cover band. It's a party band.
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah, I think
It's fun.
I mean, it is a lot of fun. And we bring the same kind of thing to the people that you guys do. And I know that feeling because in my own music, it's a little more just songy. It's not about a celebration of any kind. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it is very fun to go somewhere and bring that life into a room.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, that's it's funny you brought that up because when I first moved here, I was like, I needed a gig. I needed a job. So I auditioned for this super cover band and, learned a bunch of songs and got in it. And we're doing this thing. And I was getting paid to play all the hits, you know? And it taught me a lot about working a crowd.
Yeah.
Taught me a lot about writing better pop songs.
Yeah.
You know? And
what hits? You were playing the hits of today in your band?
Yesterday and today.
Oh, yesterday and all today. Because we play the super hits of the 70s and 80s.
Cool.
We're like in a... It works. Yeah.
They just played all
which
the
is
top
the best,
40s.
Yeah. The 70s and... The 80s.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Yeah. It is sad when we come across really great songs that we want to play and we get so excited about and then we play it and they're the songs that people just don't respond to.
Yeah.
But we won't play Oh Mickey, You're So Fine just because it's a bad song. So what was the kids show? Gabba Gabba?
Yeah, yeah.
How did you get that gig?
Well,
where did you live before Austin?
We're both from Maryland. Everybody in the band is, well, we do have two Texas people, but everybody else is just from everywhere, from Shanghai to Mexico to Chicago.
That's great slogan for you guys. From Shanghai to Mexico. Kev Bev and the Woodland Creatures. Maryland? Did you meet there?
Yeah, we did.
Wow.
We grew up.
How long have you guys been together, if you don't mind my asking?
It's hard to really say. We grew up 20 minutes from each other and apparently went to a bunch of the same parties, different high schools, and we didn't even meet till early to mid-20s, and we were roommates for years before we even started accidentally dating, right before I decided I was already moving to Austin, and it took him a year to follow me down because we weren't really sure if we were dating or not at that point.
What brought you to Austin?
We
go like Maryland. Oh, we're in Maryland. I always just think of Maryland as Baltimore, and that's it.
Yeah.
Bethesda.
We grew up in an area that I like to say it makes a 45-minute triangle with Baltimore and DC, and then our hometown. And but you know, of course, like everybody, I booked it straight to Baltimore.
Yeah.
When I was 18, and you know, he booked it straight to New York when he could. And then somehow we just all ended up back in Frederick, Maryland. And that's where it's a great little town. And,
yeah. And then,
what are your parents? Like, what were your parents?
My parents are from there and so are his. My parents actually just 2 months ago moved to Texas.
No way.
Because my sister, who's my only other sibling, is in Houston.
Okay.
And we're here. So they're starting new. They've lived on the same farm that we've lived in since I was a baby for their whole married life and just like sold the property.
And they moved to Houston?
They moved to Pflugerville.
Yeah. So they're nearby.
Yeah.
That must be nice.
It's so wonderful. It is.
The in-laws like you, Kev?
Luckily, they like me.
Are they arty parents, like supportive of the arts, or are they like Donald Trump supporters and they're all mad at you all the time?
No, they've always been supportive of everything I've done.
That's beautiful.
Even when I was a kid, you know, they would pick their battles. Like, I wear the ripped up fishnets and like my homemade bondage skirt, and I have like my terrible Chelsea haircut, and they'd be like,
"Wait, what's a Chelsea haircut?"
It's when you shave your head but leave the bangs. Nobody should ever do
this. Yeah, I hate that. That's nobody the worst.
It's the most ugly. Terrible. No, nobody can pull that off.
It was so hot back then. Though.
But they'd be like, "Okay, that's what you're wearing. Okay, let's go to church." That's you. That's our daughter. Get in the car.
That's very cool. What about you? What'd your parents do, Kev?
My dad, he played in a classic rock cover band. He actually has a classic rock cover band still. And
yeah,
he's a singer. So I was this little kid that was in a playground.
And what did they cover? Sorry.
Sean Collins and the Backbeats.
Yeah.
And they do funky, soulful stuff too, you know? And so I was exposed to, I mean, they'll do like some CCR and stuff, but most of it's like Wilson Pickett and like,
yeah,
real
groove stuff,
groovy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And soulful, and he sings. So I was able to have access to all these instruments, and my parents were like fine with me making a racket down there.
That's awesome.
So I was at a little music playground.
How do all your parents like the album?
They, oh my gosh. So we have it on vinyl too.
And oh yeah?
Yeah, which is so wonderful. And yeah, it's so worth the time and the money and the extra effort and the mastering and all that. But anyway, we went over to mom and dad's on Thanksgiving, the first holiday with them in Texas. And they have it blasting so loud that even I'm like, turn down that racket. And mom and dad are just dancing in the living room.
That's awesome.
And then every time a new guest comes over, they're like, oh, we got to play this.
On
this
repeat.
Is our kid's album on repeat.
That's
and
wicked.
His parents are the same way. I mean, they're a music family. Like you said, the name of his dad's band is Sean Collins and the Backbeat. His brother's band is Nikki C and the Rattlesnake Bites, and then he's Kev Bevan, the Woodland Creatures. It just runs in the family.
Family of musicians, yeah.
Where does your brother's band play? Up in Maryland?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. What's his stuff like?
It's more like Southern rock influence from.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I like Southern rock. It gets 70s. A bad rap, and sometimes people really down like Skynyrd and stuff and kind of view it as
but it's base good
and uneducated stuff. But those dudes, man, they were. I always tell people to go see. There's a movie called Freebird, the movie, which is them performing in England.
Mm-hmm.
And at the height, you know, like a year or, you know, 6 months before the plane crash. Just unbelievable band. Unbelievable to just watch, even if you didn't like their music, watching that band bring that power together. That was another big band, you know?
Yeah.
And they mixed funky stuff.
Yes, they did.
They got pretty funky.
Yeah, they did.
But with that, at the time, it was just rock and roll.
Yeah.
They snuck the funk in there. Yeah.
Did you tell me why you moved to Austin?
Oh, yeah. No. I don't think I got there.
Sorry.
No. I was always looking to get off the East Coast. It's too cold and too busy. And you know, along my travels of figuring out my way, I felt like with a collaborative spirit in Austin that
there was... Have you been here?
I had been here a few times before I moved here. Yeah, I just felt like there was nothing you really couldn't do versus in Maryland, you know, I would try these big projects and like I would get a zine to the first edition and it wouldn't go past the second because there's nobody who wants to collaborate. Or his bands, there was kind of like he was the biggest fish in the small sea there, but he didn't challenge himself and he wasn't growing as a musician. He gets down here and oh my gosh,
I had to get better. Real quick.
Sure did.
There's something good about this. That's the main focus in the town is like that you be good. It doesn't matter if you're famous. It doesn't matter if you're this. You got to be good. You write songs, then they got to be good songs. You're going to sing, you got to be good. Play guitar, please be good.
It's true.
It's a weird town, I think, to play guitar in.
The other thing that's attractive about this city to me was unlike New York where... I mean, from my little experience living in New York, the scene was like nobody was trying to help each other get shows because they were like, it was everybody like they didn't want to share any information. Right. Yeah, they didn't want to be like,
and here you know, it's so much like the Solstice vibe that has
and
that.
And here everybody's like,
AMF has
dude,
that.
Dude, let me get you the. You should totally play at this place. Let me get you the booking. Blah, you know, and everybody's like helping each other get shows or
It's a community.
It is.
There's a community.
Unlike any other.
Unlike any other. There's no AMF in
LA
in Dallas.
Or
they're so amazing.
Even like LA and New York, and it's just not.
Yeah, it's weird. The more like it's been happening to me for the last couple of months, just really dawning on me, meeting with those Ham people, talking to the Sims people, going and talking to Alex at AMF and doing some of those things. I'm like, man, you can't. This town is really it. It would skew you. It would screw up your mind and how things actually work when you go to a regular city and you're like, oh yeah, I'm a musician. I need some mental health care. I'm having stage fright issues. And people are like, fuck you. Like, get out of here.
Right.
Yeah,
this is Houston, buddy. Or this is Atlanta. Go fly a kite.
And everybody just wants to help each other out. And I feel like there's a real love between all of the musicians in this town.
Do you think is that good? Do you feel like, I mean, it is good. I feel like it can be a little insular sometimes.
Well, sure. That's why they call it the Golden Rut? Or
the Velvet Rut.
Velvet Rut, yeah.
It's all kinds of rut names
all
for this
of
town.
Ruts.
I worry about that with myself. Isn't that weird?
But why fix it if it ain't broke? I mean, you're happy, aren't you?
I am happy. I am happy. Yeah, I love doing this podcast too.
I mean, and
I like meeting people like you, both of you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Well, I'm nice like that. So the album's called Domesticated. It comes out January 1st. You've got a release show on January 16th at Independence Brewery.
Yes.
And then a host of shows coming up afterwards. And I'll talk about these in the intro and outro so that it's kind of clear. But, what you said that you guys have enough material and you're ready to make another album?
Ready to do a pretty solid piece if we had the money. Or not, 9 song album.
This is the first. I've been in a lot of bands and I picked the players based on them being
cool.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Super easy to work with. Super fun, positive people. That was the most important thing I wanted.
Yeah.
The musicianship was like not as important to me because I want to spend time with these people and I want it to be fun. And I think that when you work with a group, they're going to get tight and good, you know?
Yeah.
And, but yeah, that's why I was stoked.
That's important. You know that guy, Einar, that was on the panel with me? Mm-hmm. We played together for like a decade. He's gone on to play, you know, with Kelly Clarkson and does all kinds of like big gigs. And she's kept like the core of her band around, which I think is really cool for someone on that level, even though they don't play on the records or anything. But they, you know, they're always her band when she goes and does something. It's because he's cool. Like, I mean, I know I was in a band with him for 10 years. I mean, he's also really fucking great. Mm-hmm. And he brings a lot to the table musically. But more than that, the hang is just like, he's a fun guy to talk to. He's a good guy to be around. He's not pain in the ass, you know? He's not
a
whiner.
He was on the
panel. Yes, he was. Yeah, that's my reference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great guy. So in 2016, you're going to release this record from the first day of 2016, hit the ground running. You did a Kickstarter. What all did you use that Kickstarter for? For like the end part of it?
Well, in the studio, we did all of the studio work with our own money we had earned from gigs and whatnot.
Right.
And
that's good. That's a good thing. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, totally just made it happen. And then after that, we had, you know, digital mastering, and we had vinyl mastering, and we had the vinyls needed to get pressed, and all of the merch we needed to order for the Kickstarter rewards, which is now our merch, which we have an incredible merch stand for the first time.
Now that's great, though. Yeah. Those are things that really help you be a sustainable business.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
And the CDs, obviously, we did that last minute as well, and the digital download cards. So, yeah, we used the Kickstarter for all of that stuff. What else?
I feel
like there was so much more.
Some of the money to just actually physically get it to them. Yeah. Because of vinyls.
Yeah.
And it's like packaging. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we did it. It's pretty much.
We did. We had $200 left, and 100 of it we just spent on mailing out, and another 100 for clear rights to protect us with some contracts we have coming in. So
yeah. So you did it. You used it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great, man.
And the vinyl is beautiful. It was the same price to get multicolor.
Oh yeah.
So they're each disc, each it's physical vinyl unique. Is like.
That's awesome. How do they do that? What do they get, like, leftover vinyl exactly, that they cut off? And it's like the hot dog of vinyl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is the hot dog of vinyl.
It's the lips and assholes mm-hmm. of vinyl.
Yeah. It is.
And that's what we wanted because that's funky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lips that is funky.
They're very funky. But there's nothing like listening to your music on the turntable. It's like, man, we could have released this 4 months ago, but yeah, it is worth the wait.
It's an amazing feeling.
I've never put out anything on vinyl. It makes me so sad.
There's still time.
I know.
And there's still there's still 10 vinyl presses in the United States that you can do that with.
I feel like there's going to be some more because it's how long did it take you guys to do the turnover? 4 months?
4 months.
Yeah, 4 months.
Yeah, a little more.
Maybe. I mean, shit, how long did it take to get, you know, 15,000 CDs made? Like,
we ordered the CDs last minute and we got them within 2 weeks. It was an afterthought.
Well, because the thing is, there are only 10 things. Vinyl has gone up 400% in the last year or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they say that.
It was from way negative zero.
Yeah. Because, the vinyl, they are going up and people are buying them and it is a cool thing. I hope that it stays. I hope it's not a fad. You know what I mean? We're in 2 years like, oh, remember when we were buying all those records?
Well, if you think about it. We weren't even going to release it on CD.
Right.
Because we were like, CD had become the fad. And then nobody even has CD players in cars anymore. Like, a lot of people don't buy them, you know, and it's all digital. And
you have to play it on my studio thing. I don't even have a CD player to play through my stereo.
Right.
Yeah. That's weird, right? So,
it is
weird. So you didn't get a huge book and overspend on the CD presentation because you're not going to sell that many of those. And you basically have these for whoever still buys CDs and guys like me where you run into me and you're like, hey, here it is. Mm-hmm. And that way I have a copy of it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find it this morning. I remember it. I stuck it in this book.
You're like, I'm going to have to pretend I know these guys' music.
there was only two songs available on your site. Yeah. And I was like, well, maybe I'll be able to pull something together from this. But I did it. I'm a pro. I love that I just said that.
I'm a pro.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and edit that part out.
Like a music sleuth.
A music sleuth, I am. So the plan for the year is, you guys, obviously, you seem like a team, like, there's a certain, like, hey, we're all having a good time, but you guys know what you're doing.
You're
not fucking around. Yeah, so let's talk about the 2016 plans. The record comes out on the first day, and then you got the release show on the 16th. Are you planning on getting out of town? Is that why you were at that panel the other day?
Well, we certainly are, but we're not rushing towards it. We want to do a smart tour.
Yes. And that's hard because 9 people, you are just going to lose money. There's no way around it.
We understand.
But it's either like a whole lot or not terrible lot.
So we're going to wait.
Yeah. So the 2016 for us, we're still really excited about. We are going
little regional stuff.
Yeah. Little regional things. We have peeps. First. We have peeps in Mexico and New Orleans.
You got a sister in Houston.
Yeah.
She'll bring some friends.
Yeah.
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 January, we have 6 things on the books. We're just really pushing it hard in January.
The good thing about having 9 players is that everybody has a city.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And everybody has at least 5 friends that'll come to a show.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's 45 friends. It's fucking amazing.
And when you see us, you can tell that we are having fun because we are.
Yeah. You can hear it.
Yeah.
You can feel it when you're listening to the, honestly, I'm not just saying that. I was having a good time cleaning, and I was like, oh, this is a good house cleaning record. And that's what made me think of Sly and the Family Stone, because that's some of my favorite records to clean the house. fresh.
I feel like you can hear yes. smiles in music.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. You can. Uh-huh. That's funny that you say that, because there's people that make deliberately happy music, like the Beach Boys. Uh-huh. But there's this sadness inside of it. We're like, there's some bad shit happening to this poor dude.
Yeah.
Even if it's, wouldn't it be nice? You're like, I don't know if he really means anything yeah. that's good happening. But like, you listen to a Sly and the Family Stone, or even like Curtis Mayfield.
Yeah. Or Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
They're like the happiest music ever.
Yeah.
That's like his favorite band.
Oh, it is?
I took him to see them at Moody Theater. And
Were they with Chicago? Did they tour together?
No. Just them? No, it was just them. I can't remember who opened for them right now. It was like 4 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
But it was the first show I ever saw him cry at.
Oh, really? What song did you cry during? September?
It's this song that they played, Serpentine. They just went into it, and it's like this beautiful... And it is kind of sad, but uplifting at the same time.
Yeah.
And the musicianship was just so... I was just so amazed. I was just so proud of, like, their musicianship and what they had, like, at their age. Just, like, so...
Still moving people.
Crushing it. Just, like... I mean...
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
It was like their voices aged like wine. It was like
Philip Bailey's, did they have to lower anything? Are they lowering keys at all?
And better.
Because Philip Bailey's voice is ungodly high.
I don't think they were. I mean, maybe they might have had a couple songs.
Kicked down a little lower. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But.
Hey.
I couldn't tell. I don't think. Yeah, it was just.
I mean, guy's got to be like 65 at least.
Yes.
Looking good, though.
Yeah.
Their kids in the band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, just stellar musicians.
Yeah. You want to do this? You don't think, like, there's people that say, like, what are you going to do when you retire? Like, to me, like, you know, older people.
Yeah.
Like, and almost, like, retire.
Can't stop.
Can't stop
playing.
Yeah, this isn't like 1962 where you're like, oh, yeah, I'll do this for a couple of years, then I'll get a job. Mm. It's like, you can do this. Look at these old guys that are out there doing it all the time, even on our level.
You don't really see that as much in other music scenes in other cities.
Like, no.
You don't see... I think the musicianship, the level of, like, is higher.
Yeah.
So the respect for the music scene is higher. So and it's just... it allows people to keep doing it and keep getting spreading it,
doing their
thing they love.
Mm-hmm. Are you like at home? Were you like a mad scientist kind of guy?
You
seem like a guy that might like walk out of his hand. And I don't mean this bad. I mean like your brain is dealing on a different level. My grandpa, a super smart guy, is a guy that you would worry. Like, hey, you're going to the store. You got your pants on, right, bro? Like
for sure.
His mind's always on the music.
Yeah. I think that's beautiful. You seem like that kind of dude.
Thank God
you guys make a good pair like that. Yeah. You seem a little bit more with the feet on the ground. Not that you don't, and I don't mean that bad.
You
dreamer.
You're nailing it.
Yeah.
You're right on with the
When we first met and became roommates pretty soon after we first met, I just assumed he was a stoner because he's always just like thinking really hard before he says anything.
Yeah, you're so soft-spoken, too.
And I was shocked to find out he, like, wasn't really. He's just always just thinking things through and you know, always has his mind on the important shit.
Yeah.
Which happens to be the music a lot these days.
Beautiful music, as demonstrated on your new album, which comes out January 1st. I'll put this out around then.
Yeah.
If that's cool.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Domesticated, Kev Bev and the Woodland Creatures. You can find them at kevbevandthewc.com. Mm-hmm. Not the WB.
No.
Which is a terrible channel. I just know it's a terrible channel.
With the dancing frog that would be like...
Oh, I think it does have the dancing frog.
Yeah, it was like a hello, my baby. Hello, my ragtime girl. Yeah, a 9-piece band. Unbelievable. They were Austin. They were Austin Music Foundation December Band of the Month. As I said, their album Domesticated out January 1st, 2016. And on January 16th, 2016, they will be playing a release show at Independence Brewery right here in Austin, Texas. Do you know what other bands you'll have on the bill as your guests?
We are still working that still out working with out. Solstice. We have a lot of promising leads.
Well, our friends at Solstice and Austin Music Foundation are helping you put this together.
Yes, we love them both so much.
That's great. When you partner with one of these companies that you guys are getting together, you're not just doing a show like, hey, we're doing a release show. Like, you're getting with these guys. Do you go meet with them and then you guys kind of like discuss getting press?
We've met three or four times regarding this.
Really?
Yeah. And we, I really like Lauren and Matt. They're great. They're like, they're starting this thing. They're pretty new.
Yeah.
But
they do. They've got a lot done.
Of the vision and they've got the business sense. Yeah. So, and they're good people, and we're stoked.
They're very good people, yeah. And they want to do well, and they really get things done.
They do.
Like, I was sorry that the weather was so crappy the day of the festival, the Solstice Festival this summer.
Yeah.
Did you guys play that?
We play. Was it their pre-show or their after show? Yeah, it was something inside. Yeah. So fine.
Yeah. But I was out there. I think Zuri was going to come meet me, weren't you, babe? And then I was like, oh man, it's raining, and it was.
Yeah, he said no.
Yeah,
so
it ended up going to Vulcan Gas Company, but it was still a great, great time.
You know who I saw there that day that was just really, I haven't stopped loving them since then, and I try to see them when I can, Money Chicha.
No.
Seen those guys?
We'll have to.
It's pretty great. They're doing Mondays right now at the gallery at like 10.
Cool. Noted.
What are they like?
Latin, soul.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funk.
That's what we dig.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Latinos, man. Percussionist guy. Adrian, it's just a lot of the brownout and
a lot of those guys that just play in all of the same bands.
Yeah, there's a group of Mexican dudes that make the rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that music, South American music, is like super funky.
Oh, yeah.
And our drummer, Adrian Oviedo, he's like... The reason I...
Who is also the one who did the album art, by the way.
He did?
Had to throw that in there.
He did the album art.
So he's the artist for the Saturday Morning... I'm going to make sure that you guys have a show
like
by
a
next summer.
Genius.
Yeah, he's great. Does he do work... Does he do... What's his name?
Adrian Oviedo.
Adrian, this is a personal plea from Johnny to you. I will commission a painting for my house... In the style of Domesticated album cover.
He does it.
I could look at this every day when I walk in my house.
He does that. He made, he does his art. Other, mm-hmm. like he'll do.
Other bands.
He made us these portraits of us.
Oh, they're wonderful.
For Christmas last year. No?
Yeah.
And it was like, we were like, this is the perfect art for the album.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like what he does.
It's really neat.
Yeah, tell him I said hi. Hopefully he'll listen to the show.
Hopefully.
Do you think other band members listen to their... Maybe they listen to hear what you say about them.
Oh, I'm sure. Speaking of, do we still have time? Because we haven't talked about any of the other guys. I don't know how much time we have. Well, anyway,
I'll
they're
give you
all
30
great.
Seconds. No, I'm just joking. No, go ahead. Tell me about the other guys.
Yeah.
Because they're all... It takes
know,
a band.
And they're here in spirit, and they're all just as important. So Adrian is a drummer and the artist. He's amazing. And he was one of the only two actual Craigslist finds out of the whole band, but it was like love at first sight.
Yeah.
And that's how I found Zuri.
And he plays like light, like quiet and funky.
Yeah.
And he brings the little like Latin groove and that sneaks in it, and it's great.
Mm-hmm. And he writes his own electronic music too. It's really good.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And then we have Garrett, who's our horn guy. He can play everything, and he's also like classically trained and coaches us in vocals.
He went to school for music teaching.
Oh yeah.
So he's can play everything, and
of course Kevin's the frontman who also plays bass. So Gavin does the guitar.
So you play bass?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Bass and sing.
That's not an easy job.
It's not...
You follow in the steps of your forefathers like Kip Winger?
Sting. Kip Winger.
Didn't Kip Winger play bass?
I think so. Rick James did it.
Yeah. He did play bass.
Yeah.
Huh.
Most of the time, I think.
Yeah.
Kai is our violin player. Also very talented and you know, went to school for that shit. And who? Oh, and then we have Kevin Clark, who is our percussion player, and he is our gem for showing up to the shows early and staying late when not the whole band can. We love him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Kevin already.
Right.
And then who else?
And then we've got Monica. We knew her, but one of her selling points for being in the band is that she was 2009 Austin Air Guitar Champion. So she had the gusto already to be on stage.
That is rad.
And
she has just such a great spirit, and she brings so much, you know, to the stage.
Yeah.
She is leaving us after the release just to do other things, but... she'll still be the biggest fan in at all the shows, I'm sure.
Are you going to find a person to...
That's up in the air.
Fill that role?
Nine people.
That's a hard person.
Yeah, we haven't even really talked about it as a band yet. She kind of just dropped it on us in a good way. It's totally positive.
Yeah.
Because she knows it's things are really picking up.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's... Yeah. You know what? It looks like this train's going to be going a lot faster than I want to be going on this right now, so...
Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah, we haven't decided. I mean, we could do another backup vocalist, we could do another horn player, or we could just keep it at 8 and keep it simpler.
Yeah. Yeah, you could keep it at 8. I mean, that's one less person.
Yeah. We'll see.
Well, we'll see. I wish I had my calendar to know if I could make it on January. I think at some point, I definitely can come to this January 28th one because it's on a Thursday.
Yeah.
But,
We're opening for, we just added opening for KP and the Boom Boom on Saturday, January 9th. And then we have, I think the last Thursday and Friday in January, we're doing Cheer Up Charlie's and,
Then we got Swan Dive.
Swan Dive. And then February 19th at the Sahara Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm stalking you. Well, thank you so much. This album is incredible. Is there anything that I'm missing?
I don't think so. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, anytime. Domesticated, available January 1st, 2016. Don't forget to go to the album release show January 16th at Independence Brewery, brought to you by Kev Bev of the Woodland Creatures, our friends at Solstice Live, and our friends at the Austin Music Foundation.
And Independence Brewery.
a great place to have a show. You guys are great. Your album's fantastic. I've enjoyed talking to you. You're very nice people. You're as nice as you should be playing this kind of music. And tell Adrian, I need a thing. Kev Bev and the Woodland Creatures, find them at kevbevandthewc.com. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, YouTube, and all the places where people find people.
Fact. Right?
You're on Gigtown, right?
Gigtown.
Did you sign up for Gigtown, that thing those guys were pushing the other night?
We're very into them, but we have not signed up yet.
Okay. We're gonna, because we have all the shows.
You have all those shows. Mm-hmm. And imagine if people just say they're going there, you'll get $5 from everyone.
Mm-hmm. That would be so great.
Well, I wish you guys a lot of luck. Stay in touch. And we're friends, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Where is my social life? Oh, it's so beautiful tonight.
Yeah. Kev Bev and the Woodland Creatures, their album Domesticated is out today, New Year's Day 2016. I want to thank Candace and Kevin Collins for coming by and sitting down and spending some time talking to me. I want to thank Kev Bev and the Woodland Creatures for making such a fun album to listen to. Honestly, this is a great album, one of the great albums of 2016. I can say that with confidence on the first day of 2016. Just joking, guys. Beautiful album, great time. Don't forget, you can see them January 16th at Independence Brewery, January 28th at Cheer Up Charlie's, January 29th at Swan Dive, all places in Austin. If you are not in Austin, go to kevbevandthewc.com. And pick up some music. They're on the SoundCloud. They're on the Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. They are everywhere you can find stuff. Kev Bev and the Woodland Creatures and their amazing new album, Domesticated, out today. New Year's Day, 2016. New Year's Day, man. Oh, man, we're into a new year. Fifth year of this podcast. Feeling good about it still. I still like doing it. So hopefully you guys still like listening to it. And we're having a good time here, all right? Don't forget that you can like our Facebook page. And please do. And don't forget to share. When you hear a good show, man, we don't have advertising. People don't happen upon this show. We got to spread the word. It's up to you guys and me together, us. We spread the word about this show. You like it, you see it on Facebook, share it on Twitter, share it on Facebook. Share it on your Tumblr. I don't know what the hell you have, but share it. All right? Have a great year. I hope that you had a great New Year's Eve. I bet I did. I played at the Astorian with Skyrocket in Houston. I got the rest of the weekend off, so I'm just going to be lounging in my baseball pants. Yeah, you can find me here. Let's hear some more music. Kev Bev and the Woodland Creatures, their new album, Domesticated, it's out. I want to thank the Austin Music Foundation for hooking us up. They were December's Band of the Month, and now they're on the show, all right? Thank you to Candace and Kevin. You guys get out there, check out Kev Bev and the WC.com. Here's Kev Bev and the Woodland Creatures with their fantastic song intro, Lightning Sign Basketball. Let's get down. Happy New Year, guys.
Game. Come on. Get in the game. Get in the game.